it up for Calvary Worship this morning. It's awesome, awesome song. And if I haven't had the chance to meet you, my name is Nick. I'm the lead pastor here at Calvary, and it's so great to have you with us. Join us as we worship and look at God's Word this morning. And today, we have a special day. In a few moments, we're going to be having a Working Moms panel discussion. We're going to be talking just about the battle of schedule and life and family and all of that. And before we do that, I want to give a little context from God's Word. How many of you guys remember the old TV shows Father Knows Best or Leave It to Beaver? Do any of you guys remember those shows? You see these two shows from the 1950s and 1960s where you had your stereotypical family. The father worked, the mom stayed at home and took care of everything. The kids, for the most part, did whatever their parents told them to do. And even in that time period is a little bit of a stretch. Now you fast forward to 2016. And in 2016, it almost seems like those shows are from a different planet. We have more things pulling at our time and our schedule than ever before. Kids have sports and school activities and different hobbies, things pulling our direction and our attention in a number of different ways. And oftentimes in those moments when we're worn out, when we've given everything, we've exhausted ourselves, our schedules seem completely out of whack, whether you're married or single, retired, whatever, it happens to all of us. In those moments, we start asking questions like, what am I supposed to be putting my attention toward? What really is most important? Or in a bigger picture, what in the world am I on this earth for? Why am I even here? What's ultimately that purpose that God has for us? And, you know, it's an interesting question that we can ask in those moments. And in those moments, I believe that God has some important things for us to be aware of. And we're going to be looking at that specifically today from a working mom's perspective. But the principle that I want to share with you just briefly today really applies to any of us. It applies to all of us. And here's the idea. See, we oftentimes have so many priorities in our lives, things that we're passionate about, things that we have to do, and we struggle in the tension of priorities. We struggle with the tension of what should I be putting my attention toward? What should I be putting my time toward? And sometimes we feel so guilty because maybe we don't feel like we're putting enough time toward one thing or another. You know, a few weeks ago, for those of you that come to Calvary regularly, I shared a message called Shattered Dreams. And I talked about this idea that even when you've had setbacks, even when you're facing obstacles, even when things seem impossible, God can make it possible to dream again, to hope again, that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And you know, sometimes when we talk about that purpose, sometimes when we talk about that dream that God has for you, we can be guilty of almost putting certain specific parameters on what God wants to do, specific parameters on what God's purpose is for our lives. And we get that view of what God is wanting to do in a very narrow way. So we ask questions like this: you know, should I be a good parent at home, or should I be a good employee at work? Or should I represent Jesus in my school, or should I be a good student? Or should I be generous with the resources God has given me, or should I support my family? You know, what should we do when we get caught in this question and we face difficult questions like this? And for many, many choose one over the other as if one is more important than the other. But I want to challenge you with this idea that maybe there's another way. You know, maybe rather than trying to choose one priority over another in our lives, maybe God is trying to do something that I would refer to as a mosaic of mission. You know, a mosaic is a collection of a lot of different pieces that all come together that create this beautiful, beautiful image. You see this in stained glass windows. Stained glass windows, it's a bunch of little pieces of glass that come together to make this beautiful image, this beautiful picture. Stained glass windows today are worth millions of dollars. A piece of glass is worth millions of dollars. Why? Because it's a collection, it's a mosaic that creates something beautiful. Or you see this in magnificent paintings. It's not one stroke of a paintbrush that makes a painting beautiful. It's a lot of brush strokes that all are working together to make something that causes people to step back and be in awe. It's a collection. It's a collection of all of those things. And what if the question isn't, you know, should I be a good employee or should I take care of my family? What if being a good employee is part of taking care of your family? Or what if it isn't, should I represent Jesus well in my school, or should I be a good student? What if being a good student is part of representing Jesus well? Or what if taking care of my family is being generous with what I've been given? Well, what if it's not an either or? We get stuck in this either or question. What if it's a both and? What if God's intention for us isn't one over the other, but it's both? See, this can be difficult sometimes to get our minds around. That we can't grasp, well, how can I do both of these? What if it's not a matter of trying to do this and do this? What if it's not a matter of trying to strive for balance? You know, we love this idea that balance is health, and we're taught this and we're told this in a lot of different facets that we need to find balance in our schedule. We need to find balance in our life. We need to find balance. And what if it's not a matter of balance? It's not a matter of should church be more important, or should work be more important, or should my family be more important, or should my friends be more important, or should my schoolwork be more important? What if it's not a matter of trying to balance one thing over another? What if rather it's finding healthy rhythms in life, not healthy, perfect balance? And here, I want to give you an example real quick. You know, just a few weeks ago, a little over a month ago, we had an incredible Easter weekend here at Calvary. We had 5 services. It was a crazy weekend. And for me as a pastor, that means my weekend was shot. I didn't get to spend as much time with my family as some might. And that's not a good thing. That's out of balance. But trying to find rhythm is important. So what did we do? The week before, the Friday before, Heidi and I and Zach, we went to a hotel in the area that has a swimming pool. Swimming pool was key. And Zach loves swimming. So before we even got to Easter and that exhausting weekend, great weekend, awesome weekend, we took some time to spend as a family. And then after Easter, those 2 days, Heidi and I were celebrating our 5-year anniversary, so we went away for a couple days and just enjoyed that time together. That's not perfect balance. It's finding rhythms in life. It's finding rhythms. And it's finding the rhythms of what God is wanting to do in life. And this morning, as we talk about this idea of rhythms, before we jump into this working panel, I want to share a story, a principle that addresses this, that was really shared 2,000 years ago. And it's recorded in a book that we refer to as the Bible. Some of you probably have a Bible, and maybe you've opened it. And in this book, there's this amazing story told by one of the great storytellers in history. His name's Jesus. And Jesus shares this story that illustrates a principle of what we want to look at as kind of a foundation for this morning. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, which is the third book in the New Testament, the second part of the Bible. We're going to be looking at chapter 15. And before we dive into this story that Jesus shares, here's the principle that we want to look at this morning. Here's a simple idea. Our mission isn't found in perfect balance. Our mission is found in healthy rhythms. Our mission isn't found in perfect balance, but in healthy rhythms. Finding healthy rhythms in our life. Finding healthy rhythms in what we do. And this short story, or what most call a parable, is really a story with a purpose that Jesus shares. And he would do this throughout the Gospels, throughout his ministries. He would have this story. Rather than just telling you what you should do or you shouldn't do, he illustrated it through a story, because we love stories. And Jesus was sharing this story that's called the parable or the story of the lost sheep. He was sharing this in response to something that was happening. And to give you a little context for the story, we're going to start in verse number 1 there in Luke 15 to share why was Jesus sharing this. Here's what it says in verse 1. It says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" Here's the pushback. Here's the struggle sometimes. Should we, as a church, should we be here to reach people who aren't following Jesus? Or should we take care of those that are already here? As a Christian, as a follower of Jesus personally, should we spend all of our time with people who are following Jesus? Or should we be willing to reach people who aren't? Should we stay in our Christian bubble, or should we leave it? It's a difficult question to ask, isn't it? This is kind of where Jesus found himself. He's hanging out with sinners and tax collectors. And that day, that was a no-no. That was taboo. He's a rabbi. He's supposed to be hanging out with religious people, and now he's not. It's a difficult situation that he found himself in. And as a response to this frustration, as a response of this quandary he found himself in, Jesus shares a story. And here's the story. The very next couple verses, verse 4, it says, "Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it?" And this is where the struggle starts. Are we supposed to take care of our flock or the people that are here? Are we supposed to go and reach the one and leave the 99? This is the mosaic of mission. See, we're not called as a church to neglect those that are here, but we're also called not to ignore the one that's out there. See, we can very easily just end up being this group of people that sit around saying kumbaya and talk about how evil the world is outside these walls. It's very easy to do that, isn't it? Actually feels good because we're in the right place, so to speak, and we feel better about ourselves. But that's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying that we are called to leave the 99 and to go to the one. And in our lives, practically speaking, it's not always about one over the other. It's the tension of priorities. We have to recognize that it's the collection of a number of aspects in our life that God brings together to create this beautiful mosaic. We can get so focused on one over the other, but it's a lot of different areas. See, there are seasons in our life where maybe we have to work a little bit longer, and there are seasons in our life where we need to spend more time with our family. There are seasons in our life where you get to hang out with your friends, and there are seasons in your life where you might be in the office a little bit more than you'd like. It's recognizing the rhythms and seasons of life. For Jesus, there was a season in this story to go and find the one. There's also a season to take care of the 99. If that shepherd had never taken care of the 99, if all he did was go after the one all the time, he wouldn't have 99 anymore. He'd be running around chasing the one. He had to do both. It's this rhythm that we have to recognize in our lives. In fact, one of the wisest men in history, King Solomon, wrote this in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 1. He said this, "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens." Every activity, every season. Our mission isn't found in perfect balance, but in healthy rhythms. That means for us as a church, we have to recognize healthy rhythms. What does that mean? That means that we don't do a huge event every week, every day, every month. We have our Easter extravaganza, our summer camp coming up. We have all these great opportunities to reach and serve and bless our community. We don't do that all the time. Why? Because we have to recognize healthy rhythms. There are also times where we need to recognize, hey, it's important for us to grow. That's why we have life groups throughout the week. It's a chance to build relationships. It's a chance to also grow in our faith. Healthy rhythms. Individually, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that you isolate yourself and keep yourself away from the evil people and stay in your Christian bubble. It means that you're willing to represent Christ, to shine the light of Jesus wherever you go. That doesn't mean you neglect church or gathering together with people. You need both and. It's not an either or situation. And Jesus continues to illustrate this different seasons in verse 5. Speaking of the shepherd, he says, "When he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I've found my lost sheep.'" See, there is a season of searching, and now there is a season of celebration. And the awareness of our seasons in life and the rhythms of life will directly impact the significance of the legacy that we leave in this world. If you burn yourself out, you work, and you have good reason, you say, well, I'm going to be supporting my family. But what if you burn yourself out? What good are you as a mother or father? Or if you're single, if you spend all of your time with your friends because you want to have fun, you're a young adult, and you want to enjoy that, but you never actually give any time to your work, you're going to find yourself as a 40-year-old with no job, still living with your parents and wondering, what am I going to do now? That's a difficult place to be in. You have to recognize the rhythms of life. It's the rhythms. And if we as a church simply focused on leaving the 99 to reach the one and nothing else, we might end up with a lot of found sheep with no grounded sheep to help them grow and disciple and follow Jesus. But on the other side, If we just focus so much on the 99, focused on maintaining the 99, we would end up with an inbred flock missing a very important aspect to the mission that God has called us to. What is that mission? Jesus outlined it, what we call the Great Commission, the Great Commission, what we do mission together. The Great Commission, Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. Do you see that right there in that verse? It's a mosaic of mission. It's not go. It's go and make disciples. It's both. It's a both and. It's a mosaic. It's putting the pieces together. In our lives, we can get really wrapped up with one aspect, but God is wanting to put them all together. And notice in stained glass windows or a painting, it's not just one piece. They're all different sizes. They have different priorities. They play a different part. but they all work together to create this beautiful picture. And God wants to do that in your life. He wants to create this beautiful mosaic in your life that it's not about finding perfect balance. It's about healthy rhythms. And what if God didn't just have one specific thing? What if his desire for you is to embrace the mosaic of mission he has for your life, recognizing the rhythms that he has for your life as a church, as a follower of Jesus, as a parent, as an employee at work, as a student, recognizing the rhythms of life, that there are times that you need to share your faith with a coworker, and there are times where you just need to pray for them, recognizing the healthy rhythms of life and of ministry. And today, to kind of dive into this a little bit more specifically, we have a special panel with us. And we have three ladies with us. If you ladies want to come on up today, and if you can give it up for them this morning, we're going to introduce them. We have with us Judy Deans, who is a worship leader at Cornerstone Church and on the television program Mom Talk on Cornerstone Television Network. Jennifer Mealy, who's a vice president at Excella Health, also formerly from WTAE, and my favorite person on the panel, my wife, Heidi, who is she's a third grade teacher in Shaler's School District, and of course, the mom of a crazy two-year-old named Zach. God bless her for all that she does for him. So this morning, what we want to do is we're just going to have just a dialogue. You know, it's important as a church that we don't shove things under the rug, that we are able to have a dialogue and look at certain topics and issues in life, because the Bible addresses some very practical ideas. And as a follower of Jesus, it's important for us to look at those ideas and say, how do I properly handle this or manage this? And this morning, I have some questions that we're going to be asking after we let these ladies introduce themselves. But also, maybe you have questions. And you have the opportunity to text in questions this morning. We have a number on the screen. It's 724-860-8653. And whether you're here or for those that are listening on the radio, either way, you can text in questions. And we're going to be having this really cool two-way dialogue as we talk about the struggles of being a working mom. And a lot of these struggles are more than just being a working mom, but it applies to a lot of us. In the business of life, and so many things that pull in our attention, we can find healthy rhythms. So before we get started here this morning, I just wanted to have you guys introduce yourselves. So Judy, if you want to just share a little about yourself and your kind of family dynamics with us real quick.
All right. Well, we actually have a kind of a crazy rhythm going on in our family. We have four children, 6, 4, 2, and a 5-week-old who's back in the nursery right now. So I have notes. my husband's a pastor. We're missionaries. And like Pastor Nick said, I singer-songwriter, lead worship, and on TV. So
yeah, a lot.
It's kind of nuts.
It's pretty crazy.
Especially when you focus on being a stay-at-home mom.
Yes, it's hard.
While you work.
Yes, yeah. It's crazy. What about you, Jennifer?
So I'm Catholic, and I'm in shock right now.
Welcome.
So be gentle on me. I just, the singers, I'm amazed. I cried 3 times. It was fantastic. It was just wonderful. This is a great experience. You should be really, really proud. So very quickly, though, I wanted to thank Dr. Dave Rich, who I work with. Yeah. He's also my neighbor and a friend who invited me today. And Laura Sproul, if you know Laura. Laura works for me at Excella Health, and she's fantastic. Phenomenal. So treat her well, because I never want her to leave. So this is the area that I grew up in. I grew up in Westmoreland County. I moved away for a while to start in television news, and then came back to WTAE, where I was there for 10 years and really enjoyed Channel 4. But it's kind of one of those places where you might meet some women who would step on their grandmother to get ahead. And I think that we should be transparent in that. And I can tell you that I don't think that I had the backbone for it. Mm-hmm. And I got sick 6 years ago. Excella Health found uterine cancer. I had 5 surgeries and 12 weeks of chemotherapy. Wow. And loved it there so much I never left. And so now I get to make TV commercials for a living. I run the marketing department. I also run pastoral services
for the
health system.
So cool.
So you are on my list to talk to about coming to round at the hospitals, which is great. And fertility was a big issue after a uterine tumor. So we adopted a little girl. Her name is Francesca, named after the Pope, right?
That's
and
awesome.
Little Frankie. And then immediately, right after Frankie came to live with us, I went out to happy hour and got pregnant.
Wow.
So I had a little girl
awesome.
1 year to the week that Frankie came. So I have 2 little girls. And as any good Catholic, I live with guilt. Yeah, that's what I do every day going to work. So it was really interesting that we were going to talk about
that's
this.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. What about you, Mrs. Poole?
Oh, thanks. Well, as you guys all know, that I've been working for about 15 years, and I have a 2.5-year-old son, Zach, who keeps us on our toes.
Yes, he does.
Keeps the bags under my eyes, and so it's just been a joy, you know, these past 2.5 years with him, and like you said, finding that, you know, that new rhythm that we have to kind of adjust to. So
yeah, that's cool. Yesterday, we had a fun, long day with no nap, really, and he slept 11 hours last night.
I know. That was like amazing.
A blessing.
He's never done that.
So I just want to dive into...
Can he babysit for us? Can he babysit so I can sleep?
Yeah. I don't know. One's a lot right now.
I can take four more.
What I want to do, guys, is just to kind of go through some different questions, and as you feel, you know, comfortable answering some of these, and then as the questions come in being texted, we'll ask some of those, too. But the first question I wanted to dive in is, what has been your biggest struggle as a working mom? Anyone? Judy, you want to go?
My identity doesn't come from my work, first of all. I think when we tend to do that, we put our work at such a high priority that we forget everything else, and we don't have a rhythm. I know, let me make sure I don't miss this here. I used to be so hard on myself whenever I got married and had kids. When I was married at first, without children, I got to, you know, do everything that I was called to do without being a mom. And then when I became a mom, I felt guilty, and I was just like, well, how can I be who God created me to be as a artist or whatever and work, but yet be all that my children need me to be? And what God was telling me is that, Judy, you need to focus on who I made you, your whole being, and yes, put your family at that high priority, but don't neglect all the other aspects that God has created you to do. But don't have to do everything. Yeah. Say no to things. Do things that your children see you as being an example and can live it out as well, just as you're trying to do. But don't be unhealthy about it. Say no to things. It's good to say no to things.
It's really good. It's really cool. Anyone else?
So I have this thing where I run 100 miles an hour uphill at number 10 on a treadmill 24 hours a day, and I expect everyone else to do the same. Yeah. So the thing that I struggle with the most is probably, you know, when my husband wants to sleep in, or he doesn't want to take the kids to the Pittsburgh Zoo and the Children's Museum the same day. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Let's go. We have to have fun, and we have to put it on Facebook.
We did the aviary.
Everybody else is having fun on Facebook except us, and we need to do that. So I think that the thing that I've struggled with the most is learning that not everybody has to run at 100 miles an hour. And I put these unrealistic expectations on the rest of my family, on my employees, and even on my bosses. My bosses frequently say to me, please slow down. And it doesn't have to be that way. And the problem is if I don't stop doing that, those unrealistic expectations are going to be placed on my kids.
Yeah, yeah, that's hard. Have you guys ever had the conversation with your husband about not working? How did that go? Did you?
I see the eyeballs looking at me. Yeah, I have actually. I mean, I think that's, you know, something that immediately crossed my mind. You know, I mean, I grew up with a mother who stayed home, and I think just, you know, naturally, you know, the way like you look at, you know, things that have progressed, you know, from the beginning of time, just, it was just natural that the mom always stayed home with the child. And I think that was a big struggle for me in the very beginning, that I wasn't going to stay home with my son. But yeah, we've talked about it, you know, a couple of times, you know, different opportunities have come up even in my district to, take a part-time job, do part-time teaching, you know, and I think Nick has been very supportive of my decision, you know, either way. I'm still working full-time though, so I did not take any of those, you know, options, but, you know, we talk about it, we discuss it, and like, hey, would this be an option? What do we think? You know, could we financially afford it? You know, what does that mean then if I don't work, you know, some of the things that we become accustomed to then have to shift a little bit, you know. But I'm still currently a full-time teacher and a full-time mom and full-time wife. And so, but we do discuss it, and you've been very supportive, and we've worked through it. I think I more freak out. I'm like, I don't think we can do this. And, you know, he's like, it's okay. We'll find a way. It's all right. You know,
what's the value in that dialogue? I don't know if any of you guys have had that. What's the value? And whether you come to it one way or the other, is not really.
Our conversations have been more of, okay, I want to focus on staying home as much as I can. Yeah. So when can you, honey, be at home with the kids?
Like, yes.
So we, it has built our relationship to really trust each other, to share more, and to communicate with each other on a deeper level, which is, I think it's hard for any marriage.
It is.
You go and get in a rut.
I agree. I will say that if any of you get to know my husband, his last name is Sinti. It's Dr. Jason Sinti. He's a chiropractor in Penn Township. And because of being in the public eye for so long, poor Jason, they call him Mr. Mealy, wherever, you know, the kids in the neighborhood ride by. And they're like, hey, Mr. Mealy. And I will tell you that he is Mr. Mom Monday through Friday. And I'm not going to lie, I'm not home. Awesome. I don't pull my weight. Mm-hmm. I lock in on the weekends and do what I need to do. Mm-hmm. And he's adjusted his schedule to make sure.
Awesome.
Yeah, he's home with the kids 2 days a week.
That's awesome.
And very attractive, guys. Yeah. I'm just saying. You can change a diaper. Very attractive.
I have to say that, you know, it was kind of weird that we came here today. And I was looking at Jennifer and I was like, how do I know you? I mean, other than being on TV, but like I know you from somewhere. And here it turned out that our kids had taken music class together. And I have to say, your husband, I remember on some Saturdays, he was there with the kids, you know, both of her little girls. I remember on Halloween, he came and they brought out bright candy for all the little kids. And he is a wonderful man, a wonderful man.
He's going to heaven, no doubt about that. You'd have to live with me.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. How do you maximize your time with your children? You know, with limited time, how do you make the most of that time?
Yeah, one thing I know for me, just personally, I'm very regimented in the fact that, you know, my work and my home life for me is very separate. You know, I do have that sort of, you know, luxury. I mean, I do, you know, go in a little earlier, plus I fight traffic on 28, so I do try to beat the traffic in, which sometimes never happens. Anyway, I try to get in there a little bit early. I work through my lunch. You know, I'm there busy doing my work. That way I don't have to bring anything home so that when I do come home that, you know, my time with Nick and my time with Zach are just, you know, they're sacred to me, you know. And if I do have anything to do, you ask Nick, like I very rarely bring papers home to grade. But if I do, I save them till after Zach goes to sleep. That when he is there, when he's awake, he has my 100% attention, you know. So that's what I kind of do.
This may sound silly, but I've learned to say no to cleaning and being organized in a lot of ways that I strive after. Like, I work so much better when things are, like, ducks in a row and everything. And God's like, no, Judy, let that go. Let those cobwebs, let this craziness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you need that time with your kids.
Yeah.
And
also
just saying no to other things. And we've also picked up on homeschooling. So
that helps.
It's a challenge for me because I always swore I'd never do it, but it's making me have that deeper relationship with my kids.
That's cool.
Impressive. I bring my kids with me to a lot of places.
That's awesome.
I have to. So I know this is really exciting, but I run the Mall Walker program at Accela Health.
And that's
it's
amazing.
A lot of fun. It's at Westmoreland Mall the fourth Thursday of the month. And I bring the girls. I bring the girls as much as I can to as many events. I host probably three or four events a week. And the baby I adopted, I laugh, she is a mini Jen Mealy. She will fight you for the microphone and get up there and talk.
That's awesome.
And so I think, like you said, kids learn through storytelling and they learn from your behavior. And I think if they see you up there volunteering your time and trying to help people, then they will too.
I'll tell you from my own life, my dad's a pastor, and pastoring is not a real 9-to-5 type of job. You don't really have, you're on all the time. And one of the things I always loved as a little kid is going with my dad to visit people in the hospital and visit people.
Oh, good.
And
you're definitely going to be rounding at Accela Health. Then.
Well, the Bible says to not let anyone look down on you because you're young, but be an example. How can they be an example if they don't see it from their parents and they don't have an opportunity to do so?
But I think there is a judgy factor out there. And I felt it a lot at Channel 4. No matter how I wore my hair or my lipstick, my high school teacher would call in and say, I hate your hair, I hate your lipstick. And the same thing happens at Mall Walkers or every event that I bring my kids to. People say, why would you bring your kids here?
Yes.
You don't like it? That's fine. This is what I want to do.
But it's your parent. You're the parent.
I'm the parent.
You get to make the call.
I'm the mom.
That's really cool. So some questions have been texted in. Here's one of the questions. Is how do you help coworkers and bosses understand how important family is to you? How do you communicate that?
I had a really interesting thing happen to me. So I've been at Accela for 5 years and amassed, as people retire, you know, amass more departments and more people work for me. And I was at a dinner meeting in Pittsburgh trying to recruit some physicians. And one of the physicians gave my boss a compliment. He said, wow, you know, Jen really works so hard. We're so glad that she's part of Accela. And my boss said, Yeah, well, Jen probably spends a little bit too much time at Excella with as young as her kids are. And I let it go. But imagine that happening to you in a business meeting.
Yeah.
With all men.
Yeah.
And, you know, I understand that I'm 30 years their junior, but it was just a shock for me.
Yeah.
So I did talk to him afterward. I pulled him aside and said, you know, I'm fine. If I couldn't be here, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah, yeah.
And the money that I earn puts food on the table, pays the mortgage, pays for the cars, pays for the preschool, all of these things. And this is the choice that I've made.
Yeah.
So you just let me worry about my work-life balance.
Yeah.
And he never bothered me
That's
again.
That's good.
I think
it's tough when other people try to parent for you.
Right. I think they understand more than we think they understand because they have families themselves too.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes they probably work too much as well. And so I think our example in saying no is okay. I mean, whenever you're asked to do extra things, if it is, you know, cringing on your time with your family, it's okay to say no.
And I think bosses probably are, when they say something like that to you, are probably mean to say, it's okay if you can't be here. We want you to have a good work-life balance. But it's the way they say it.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes guys need to be educated on that.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. I think you're right on that. Definitely. How do you teach your kids self-care? How do you model that for your children?
You got to take care of yourself, first of all.
Yeah.
Don't neglect.
If someone could
yourself.
Teach me that would be great.
What about you, Heidi? What do you think?
I think before when we have all mentioned that, I think it's, you know, you're setting that example for your kid and the self-care that, you know, that yes, you know, your family and stuff comes, you know, and is an important, mm-hmm. but also, you know, taking care of your own personal health. I mean, if you weren't, you know, taking care of your needs, you know, you're never going to be, you know, the mother or the, you know, wife or the husband or whatever, that your family needs you to be.
Yeah.
So it's important to, you know, I know with Nick and I, you know, during the school year for me, it's a little more difficult, but like during the summertime when I have off, you know, it's always important, like, you know, at least an hour and a half every day, you know, Nick gives me the opportunity just to go out. I'll take a walk or something in my neighborhood just so I can have my own personal time, you know, that I can
sleep.
Stay healthy.
Right.
Spend all of our money at Target.
I love that, right?
Spend all of our money at Target.
Yeah, well.
Shopping and sleeping is all we really need to recharge.
You know, but
shopping and sleeping, that's it.
You know, but even for Nick, you know, he goes out, like, you know, he plays in a soccer league and a basketball, you know, so it's taking that time. And we bring Zach, you know, to sometimes the soccer and even basketball. He'll go play just before the big guys come, you know, and just to show them that it's important to, you know, take care of yourself and to be healthy so that you can be, you know, that way for your
family. Here's a powerful question. As working women, how did you decide when you were ready to start a family? How did you make that decision?
For me, God kind of decided. So.
What's you, Jennifer?
Well, we tried, like I said, we tried for probably 10 years to get pregnant, and I saw an ad in the in my church bulletin. I go to Immaculate Conception in Irwin, and Marianne Petrillo, who is the adoption attorney in Irwin, her ad was in there, and I went in for a consultation, and 3 days later, she called and said she had a baby. For us. So that was amazing. And we adopted the baby right out of Westmoreland Hospital. And then
that's awesome.
The rest is history. Yeah,
that's
awesome. It was really,
amazing.
Really amazing. And I think if people realized every day, those of you, anybody out there suffering from infertility or looking to give a child a good home, probably 3 babies a week are adopted out of Westmoreland Hospital. That's how many local adoptions are happening and people don't know it. And it's about $7,000 for a private adoption through Marianne.
That's amazing. That's amazing. What's you, Judy?
We really didn't even think about that,
yeah.
to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
We were married 5 years before we decided to have a family, and it was kind of like one day we woke up and we were like, you know, my parents want to know their grandchildren, right? They're getting old, and I think I'll regret it if I don't have kids, so let's do it. So it really wasn't a thought, and as we had children, then God showed us how we need to work less or work more or scale that. He works with you individually.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a cut and dry answer for any person, you know?
Another question that's been texted in. Do you feel guilty going to work? If so, how do you manage or handle that guilt?
I just kind of work guilt into my daily schedule.
Yeah.
It's kind of just like part of it. Francesca, the baby that we adopted, is biracial. And I'm really struggling right now, especially with guilt, because we don't have a very diverse community here in North Huntingdon. And so I am looking and constantly looking for somewhere that she isn't so different. And I did find this great daycare. It's a church. It's the Black Church in Greensburg. They're fantastic. So that offers a little bit of diversity, yeah. just a tiny bit, which is great. And the guilt in the morning of drop-off of daycare is the kind of thing that makes you want to become a chain smoker. You know, when you leave them there, they're bawling, and then you don't want them to go. And I just have to realize that, are they safe? Yes. Are they loved? Yes. Would they be any better off sitting at home watching Peppa Pig with me? Yeah. No. Yeah. And so then my favorite part of the day is when I go back and pick them up at daycare and they run down the hall.
That's
and
the best.
They're tripping all over themselves and they hug you. And
can I jump in here real quick? When you mentioned love, it just dawned on me. You know, we let guilt be our motivating factor a lot, don't we, on the decisions we make? But when we let love be that factor, when we say, God, okay, your word says you love me. You said you created me to do this job.
Yeah.
You created me to do this, Mom. Okay, give me wisdom on what I need to do here. He'll give that.
Yeah.
But try to let love be your motivator instead of guilt, because I think we're all guilty of that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I know the first day that I went back to work after maternity leave, you know, I mean, I have like a 40-minute drive. I literally cried all 40 minutes, you know, there to work. You know, I just can't do this, you know. But, you know, the one thing, and you mentioned like the whole love factor, the thing that helps me is that, you know, I know that every day when I go to work, there are people that love my son, you know. Two of the ladies are in the third row that watch Zach, you know, at least one day of week, you know.
If I could get their number too, that'd be great.
Yeah, they're great. The second one, see one, then orange is one of them. I can't see where Grandma Kathy went, but you know, but they have literally become my son's grandmas, you know, like we love them deeply, and so does my son, and they love him, you know, and it's fun when we pick him up, you know, and then you know Grandma Pat's like, oh, look what Zach did today, or what he did, and you know, they and my son has brought such, I think, such joy even to them as well, you know.
Adds years to their lives, too.
Yeah, for Grandma Kathy, you know, she had gone through some hard times of losing her son and her husband, you know. And I know that she would say to me things like, I just can't wait to see my Zach again. You know, he's brought me so much joy. And even her family members, you know, that have said that to me. And I just think, you know, for me, I don't really have the guilt.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that I know that my son is with someone who, someone every week, you know, or every day, excuse me, that loves him deeply.
Yeah.
And that's how I can go to work every day.
It's a big deal. We have way more questions we could answer right now being texted in. But I just wanted to, as we kind of wrap up today, give you guys the opportunity. Is there anything you would want to say to working mom that's here that's just struggling with just the battle of life and family and work and all of the things that pull kind of your attention? Is there anything, maybe just closing thoughts you guys might want to share?
Well, I just want to, again, give you compliments on the fabulous church that you have here. I, of anyone, understand the production value of what just went into it, and I just saw a rundown that was timed perfectly and, you know, behind the scenes, the stage crew. And I don't know if you all have families and you committed your time to doing this, but it was amazing. So it was worth it, and I say keep going. Keep doing it. You have a great reputation in the community. I heard your Easter egg hunt was out of this world, and there were thousands of people.
Yeah,
thousand people
cool.
there, which is great. So that's this is a great place to be, and I think if you're struggling, for me, I try not to struggle with it, because I think back 10 years ago when I wanted a baby so badly, so I refuse to complain about it now. I joke about it, I laugh about it, and kibitz with my friends about it, but absolutely, I wouldn't trade anything, and just keep going.
That's awesome.
And I always remind myself, you know, and I, you know, Nick and I, this has been mentioned before, that Nick and I, you know, before Zach, we had a miscarriage, and, you know, some things even after Zach, we've kind of struggled through. And I do remind myself of that every day. You know, the days may seem so long, but the years are so short, you know. And I look at Zach and what a miracle he is that has come into our lives, and how much joy he's brought. And, you know, just I the same thing. It's just, you know, the years go by so quickly. And I know my son's only 2.5. And I know some of you, you know, you can, you know, people tell us to us all the time, you know, like, just take advantage of it. You know, it's, you know, it's really great. Before you know it, you're going to miss those snuggles and you're going to miss that, you know. But like I said, I just remember, like I said, my biggest thing is the days may be very, very long, sometimes very, very long, but the years are so short, so cherish them.
Yeah.
And you can never snuggle your baby too much.
No.
Right.
Yes,
right.
Thank you, Heidi.
And your identity doesn't come from your job. It doesn't come from anyone but God and who mm-hmm. he's made you to be. So be nice to yourself. Give yourself grace. Take time to rest. And don't look at like, oh, no, I just messed up, or, oh, I just had a win. Like, no, every day is a win mm-hmm. when you're giving yourself to God. And he'll show you how to maximize the time you have with your kids. Say no to the things you don't need to do and take advantage of each, like you said, Heidi, each precious moment you've got, because they are fleeting.
As a dad, I always say, if he's still alive, it's a win.
Exactly.
He's still alive. It's a win.
I have to share, yesterday, and it was raining, and my kids are obsessed with Peppa Pig, and, oh, we want to go play in muddy puddles. I ran to Target. $100 I dropped on the matching raincoats, the boots, the hat, the umbrella. I let them out in the mud.
They didn't want any of that stuff you bought either.
No, right? I know, but we were at a charity walk at Twin Lakes, and everybody's watching my kids and saying, oh, that's so cute. And the baby takes a face plant in the mud, starts screaming bloody murder, and then everyone's judging me. And that's awesome,
that's
right?
Awesome.
I mean, that is like mother of the year right there.
That's awesome. So, yeah. Well, can you give it up for these ladies? Thank you guys so much for taking the time. Thank you guys. And as the worship team comes, just to kind of put a period on today, I just want to say thank you for each of these ladies coming, but also for you joining us this morning. And, you know, the theme of what we're talking about is more than just as a working mom, but it's finding the balance, the rhythm in life. And here's the incredible reality of what Jesus shared in that story of the lost sheep, this idea that it's not one or the other, it's not an either or, it's a both and. That Jesus did one of the greatest both and moments in all of history when he left heaven, a place that was comfortable, a place that where he's at the right hand of the Father, and he came to earth. Why? Because he loves you. You know, as a working parent, sometimes you need to sacrifice one over the other. But it's recognizing the priority, and Jesus made you a priority because he loves you and he cares for you. And you know, this morning, before we close, I just want to give you the opportunity this morning to say, you know what, I maybe have never walked into church before. You know, maybe I've never come to this place, or I've been to church many times, but I feel such incredible heaviness or guilt or the things that I've done in my past, the things that I've done in my life separate me so far from God that I don't know how God could ever love me. You know, one of the moments that I realized how God loves us was the moment we brought our son Zach home for the first time. It was a Sunday afternoon, and I walked Zach into his bedroom, and we had spent months building crazy, dressers and crib and hanging things on the wall and filled it with way more stuffed animals than any kid should ever have. And there's clothes in the drawers and there's toys everywhere. And I walked him into this bedroom and I said, Zach, all of this is yours. He had been out of the womb for 2 days. He did absolutely nothing to deserve it. He didn't earn it. He had no right to have any of that. I said, Zach, this is all yours because I love you. And you know what? There's actually more that you don't even know about that's in the attic that you'll get in a couple years. That's the love that God has for us. It's the love of a heavenly Father, is the example that the Bible gives us. God loves you because he created you. You're his son, his daughter. I don't care what you've done. Look at your own children. You're going to love them no matter what because they're your children. You love them. You're not always happy with them, but you love them. God loves you so very much because you're his. He made you. He created you. And maybe you're here and that's difficult to cross that bridge for you. I just want you to know, just take a step toward him. Take a step toward him. We talked about a couple weeks ago, this idea of the prodigal son. You take a step toward him, he runs to you because he loves you. He cares about you. He's walking you into that room and saying, this is all yours because you're mine. You haven't earned this. You don't deserve this. You've done nothing to earn it. But I love you because you're my child. You're my son. You're my daughter. We pray this morning, Lord, I thank you so much for this opportunity today to worship you. And I thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to have this powerful, important dialogue about an issue that so many struggle with and deal with. And Lord, I pray, Lord, in these moments of guilt, in these moments, Lord, of inadequacy, God, I pray that you would help us to see the love that you have for us, that you care so very much about us, that you have forgiven our past, Lord, that you care about us. You have a plan and a purpose for our lives that's so much bigger than what we could see. Lord, that you have this mosaic of mission for us.
as your children. As you're continuing to pray this morning, maybe you're here and you'd say, Nick, I have never taken that step to follow Jesus. You know, I may be not a religious person. I don't go to church or not. None of that matters. We're not talking about being religious. I'm talking about following Jesus, putting yourself on a path where you get to follow him. And maybe you're here and you've never taken that step. In just a moment, I'm just going to count to three and just ask you to reach your hand toward heaven. It's a physical expression to say, you know what, I want to follow Christ today. I want to be a son, a daughter. I want to be a child of God today. If that's you this morning, just on the count of three, no one looking around, and ask you to reach your hand toward heaven, and we're going to pray together. One, two, three. If that's you this morning, amen. Anyone else this morning? Amen, amen, amen. Can you all pray this prayer with me? This isn't some magic formula. It's just a conversation with God that I want to lead you in. And my hope is this would be the first of many, many conversations you have with God. Would you pray this prayer with me, everyone together? Dear God, thank you for loving me. In spite of my past, in spite of the things I've done, thank you for forgiving me. Today, I accept that forgiveness. I commit to live for your purposes. Give me the strength and courage to follow you all the days of my life and to show your love to the world around me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.